thank you guys so much for your faithfulness. And would you just do me a favor, if you're physically able, would you stand to your feet? And I want to draw your attention, and I just mostly want to just pray. You know, the next Sunday, May 6th, after many months of prayer and planning, we'll bring our special offerings, our initial offerings, our faith-filled, our best offering forward towards this campaign to renovate our facility and bring a renewed excellence to it for us and for our families to enjoy, for the precious people in our city that we're reaching out in the name of Jesus to come and experience and enjoy, and for the future generations to see that the house of God is a priority to us and to our families. And so I just want to pray over that. You know, there's a legacy envelope that you should have received this morning in your bulletin, and there's a legacy vision book that's out there. Those would be great things for you to have in your hand and to look over and read over. But what I've been asking you to do is just to pray and obey. Just pray and obey. And, you know, Amy and I have had the privilege of being a part of some of these things in previous places where we've served and led and been church members. And as we've prayed and obeyed as individuals and as a couple and as a church family, God's always provided, and he's been faithful. And I just think if we just pray and obey, I just don't want to coerce you or twist your arm. I just want to give you the invitation. And, you know, it's not an obligation. It really is. It's a privilege to partner with God to build his kingdom and to build his church and to steward his people and to steward this place, this property, and this facility and that children's wing where our precious kids are back there being taught about Jesus. And this place this morning where we gathered as a family and worshiped and pray and dive into God's word and discover more of his heart for us and his plans and his purposes, it's a privilege. And so thank you for praying and obeying. I trust that he's gonna speak to you. And he's always, when Amy and I have had that privilege before, he's spoken to us. And it generally, if it's God, it generally just challenges you to faith, because he's doing something more, church family, in this time and season than just renovating a building. He's going to accomplish that, but he's stretching our faith, and he's reminding us that he still does miracles, and he's reminding us that he's our source. And so just pray, and just he'll challenge you to do something that's filled with faith and that's generous. And I trust if we all come back next Sunday and we do that, we bring our best to God. And for us, what that's, you'll see on this offering, there's an opportunity to, or on this envelope rather, there's an opportunity for you to mark your offering. There's an opportunity for you to mark your pledge, because for some of us, what God's going to put in our heart to do, we might not necessarily be able to bring all at one time. But it's an opportunity to say, here's what we're bringing, here's what God's put in our heart to give, and here's what we're going to keep presented before the Lord, trusting him to provide for us. Amen. So would you pray with me in faith over this process and over every family, every single, every individual, every heart, every home, every checkbook, every bank account? Lord, we thank you for the privilege it is to steward this building. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. It's not ours. It belongs to you. And you've just asked us to steward it well, Lord, and you've entrusted us with the message of the gospel, and you positioned us many years ago. You birthed a movement in the 70s amongst some college kids that had fire in their eyes for Jesus, and you formed a church, and you called us to Michigan Street, and you called us to Wakarusa Drive, and you called us to those places. You've positioned us here to now represent the light of the kingdom of Jesus to the city of Lawrence and the surrounding area, and this building belongs to you, and every person that's ever entered in or will enter in belongs to you. And we thank you for the privilege it is to partner with you and to steward this place, this house. It's special to us, God. It's special to us. And we thank you, Lord, for providing. We thank you for speaking. We thank you for the vision to bring renewed excellence to it, God, for our generation and the future generation. And we just ask you, Lord, would you provide? Would you do a miracle? Would you do a miracle? Would you use us and move through us, Lord, individually and corporately? And would you do a miracle? We trust you. We trust you. And we thank you for the privilege it is. There are few things in life, God, that have lasting impact. And sowing into your kingdom and building your kingdom and building your church with you, Lord, is one of those things. And so we're grateful and we're thankful in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's precious people said, come on, amen, 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 amen. Yeah, you can put your hands together for Jesus. If you have your Bible with you this morning or you're on your device, turn to Exodus chapter 4. Really excited about the word that the Lord's put in my heart to share with you this morning. And We're in this Live to Lead season, and so every week throughout the week during life groups, we're bringing a message designed to develop you guys and your leadership in God's kingdom, because we believe that every person, every man, every woman, every young person has a leadership call of God upon your life. And leadership is not reserved for those in the church with a title or with a position. It's the call of God on every believer to make a difference for God and to make a difference in the lives of others. And that's the grace that he wants to put upon your life. And so we're bringing these messages throughout the week in the format of our life groups. I just want to encourage you, there's just a couple weeks left before we take a break for the summer, but it's not too late to get connected and involved. I've been meeting some new people that the Lord's bringing in to our precious church family, and just so grateful to hear some of them just saying how they've enjoyed just stepping right into and getting connected to the fellowship and the ministry that takes place in life groups. And just want to encourage you, it's not too late. There's books out there. There's nearly 30 groups that meet all throughout the week, men's groups, women's groups, couples groups, singles groups, young people, old people, black people, white people, all kinds of people just getting together in the name of Jesus to encourage one another and to gather around his word. And so just want to encourage you, it's not too late to step into that. But on Sundays, I'm bringing a message to recap the previous week's messages, and we're believing that God's strengthening us towards that leadership call that he has on our lives. And because the calling of God is irrevocable, but it's our responsibility to develop ourselves and to grow towards the calling and to embrace the call of God and to begin to walk it out in a way that is faithful to him and makes a difference. And so, before I get into my word this morning, there's something that's really exciting. It's really significant, but it's exciting, and we want to take a few minutes this morning, or as long as the Lord would have us to take, and just share it with you guys and encourage you with it. Just the example of a family that is embracing God's call upon their life and putting God's kingdom first. And so, come on, would you get ready to give someone about the biggest applause that Rev City Church has ever given anyone? Would you welcome Eli and Elisa Brooks to the platform, and my wife, Amity? Come on, give it up for them. Come on. Love you.
Imagine everybody. Oh my.
You want to take it?
Yeah. Thank you. Probably wondering why. Some of you are wondering why you're standing. as Pastor T said, our heart, as pastors, as a church, is to be kingdom-minded and to do anything and go anywhere God would call you to go. And to live that and to preach that and be the sermon, not just preach the sermon. And God's been stirring Elisa and I's heart for about the last 8 months or so that he had something for us. And he's stirring our hearts that there was a next season that we were going to be stepping into. And it was reminding us of dreams that he'd put in our life and different prophetic words. One of them came out right in Activate Conference on that front row. And Pastor Richard walks up to him and said, God's calling you to dig a big ditch this year, which means just take a big step of faith. And I'm thinking, okay, just hold on to those things, right? But we've been praying, we've been driving and praying, we've been going around the region. God, what would you want us to do? Would you want us to plant a church out of Rev City somewhere? Would you want us to, we'll do anything. We've always said we want to live like our house is a tent, and we would pull up stakes whenever God called us to go. Because every one of us is supposed to be a sojourner, a wanderer on this earth, and to live for the kingdom. And it's easy to say that. It's hard to live it. We've been in this church our whole life. I preached my first sermon when I was 18, right down here, 19 years ago. But God began to stir our hearts, and we were thinking, okay, maybe I'll do church planting school, 18 months to 3 years of preparation. That feels good. And then launch into another season. But about 6 weeks ago, Pastor Thomas and I have been talking about this for a while, and one of the things he always tells me, which is so amazing, he says, I want you to dream in the open, don't dream in the dark. And so I've done that, and sometimes that's scary to step out with your boss and be like, hey, I'm thinking about something else, but he's so about the kingdom and so about the bigger, what God's doing in the capital C church. And not about holding on to things that maybe God's calling to stir up and launch. And so it's been amazing to dream and talk and process together. But anyway, 6 weeks ago, one of the things that we did was Pastor Thomas connected with Ed Funderburk, who's a mentor of ours and been an amazing voice in our church, just of encouragement and direction for the last six years or so. And just to tell Ed knows Elise and I, we've had a lot of spent some time with him. Tell him God's stirring our hearts. And Ed immediately said, I wouldn't normally have this, but I feel like I have a fit that might be amazing for Elisa and Eli. And so he told us about this opportunity, and in his nice southern accent, he's like, you guys just go kick the tires and see if it's God. And I'm thinking, I don't want to kick any tires. I just want to but it was an opportunity in Alabama. And I'll tell you what, we were going to go to Honduras 9 years ago to be missionaries, and Honduras seems more realistic to me. I never would in my life, I'm sorry if any of you are from Alabama, but I never would have thought God would be calling us to go to Alabama. But we went down there, so that was about 6 weeks ago. He told us about it. I began to have some conversations with him on the phone, we weren't looking for this. I was thinking, okay, whatever you want to do, God, we just want to be open. And started talking, connecting with them on the phone, and then they flew us down there about 3 weeks ago to go visit, just to build a relationship and see if this was the Lord. And so we spent time with people, and it was awesome. We connected. We didn't come back with this, amazing, yes, but we just come back with, this is possible. This is really something God would be calling us to, and just prayed, and I talked with the elders, talked with Pastor Thomas. We've been just searching God's will. We really want to do his will. And over, I just kept asking God, just keep, Lord, would you just keep speaking? I'm not testing you, but would you just keep speaking along the way? And he's so faithful to do that. And I prayed that prayer and then opened my Bible, and I read a verse that said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you, but don't be like a horse or mule that must be bridled or it won't come to you. I felt like God saying, I want to bring you into something, but I don't want to force you. And then I walked, that was like, closed my Bible, went to our room, and there was a card on Elisa's nightstand. I hadn't seen it. It said, do not be afraid. I'll be with you wherever you go. I'm like, okay. Then I go and take a shower and turn on my Spotify on random repeat. And the first song says, you beckon me to leave all that I know. You beckon me to call me as your own. And I'm like, that was within 5 minutes of me praying that prayer. And I was like, all right, Lord. And I just started laughing. Jesus, thank you. And he just has been so faithful to us. And he gave me a picture that he's like of a clear path. Concrete path. And you know, he says he makes his way, your way straight. But then he also showed me that he'd put hedgerows on both sides. And he's like, I'm out of my love and my grace, I'm giving you one path to go. And you can either stop or you can keep walking. And I we're never called to get stuck. You know, and that's really I was like, and it was his grace because we have so many roots here. Both our families are in this church. We have so many roots in this community. We both were born and raised in Lawrence. We both went to KU. I mean, this is home. There's a lot of roots. And it takes a lot to shake those roots, and it's only God. It's only God. So last Tuesday, they called and formally offered us the position of lead pastor of their Madison, Alabama location. It's a amazing church. They have three locations, and they have a main one and two others, and they're calling us their newest location, needs a new lead pastor. And so last Friday, we prayed all last week, and I met with the elders, submitted to them, and I said, if you have any checks in your spirit, if you have anything, we are submitted to you, and if you say we don't feel it's right, I'm staying, and I'll be wholeheartedly serving at Rev City for as long as God has me. And they said, no, we really feel like it's God. And we felt the same, and it's just unanimous, like God's calling us. And so last Friday, we formally accepted the offer. And so I'm going to be reporting at the end of May. And we will drive out of town the day after Father's Day, June 17th, and pack up to Alabama. I'll let you share something. Sorry, that was not a very smooth transition.
Man, we love you guys. We really do. And I cried every day, so, you know, hey, I'm just adding on. We love you so, so much. And what we told some of our leaders that we were meeting with is, we love you so much. I can't even describe it. but we love Jesus more. And for me, because I'm not somebody that really likes change, many of you know that, but I could not imagine someday down the road Jesus asking me, why didn't you obey me? Why weren't you brave when I asked you to do something different? And that was like, oh, man, I want to do what you want me to do, Jesus. We want to do what Jesus is asking us to do, even if it requires bravery that we don't even know we have in us. And one day as I was driving, I just felt like that verse from Proverbs, and many of you know it. I've known it since I was a little girl. But trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And we really feel like God has said this is the next road for you. We don't even maybe understand all the whys, but we believe and we really trust that God is fully trustworthy, and he's trustworthy to take us where we need to be. He's trustworthy to put into position what you guys need, because he can see the bigger picture. And so we just love you. So give us lots of hugs. And if I cry a lot, just cry along with me. And I just would ask you from my mommy's heart to be really tender and sensitive to my boys as you love on them these last few weeks, because it's a big transition for our family. It's a big, big change. As you send us off, we're praying for you and we're loving on you even from afar, because you are a family. And good news is that since we have a lot of grandparents in this town, we're going to be back a lot. So we're going to come back for lots of love and hugs too. But I just feel like I could say it over and over. We love you. And I just want to tell you how much Pastor Thomas and Amity have loved us through this process. Above and beyond what we could have ever, ever imagined. They have been so kind and cheered us on. And at one point I said, man, this is like a win. Because if God tells us to go somewhere and we know it's his voice, we'll go. But if he tells us not to go, we get to stay. You know? But you have such good pastors that love you and have loved us and done so good, been so good to us. So I just want to publicly tell you they are awesome and they're just amazing. So that's all.
And yeah, I just want to say we met with our student leaders and our staff last night for youth, and I just want to just I encourage them, like, you know, God doesn't like make one plan and then I need to do something else over here. I got to make a plan B in the background. Like he's doing we told them, and this is a word God gave to us. I'm doing something for your family, not to your family. And I believe it's the same here. God's doing something for this church, not to this church. He's got a plan for the people he's going to raise up, the people that he wants to call out and step in out in their own faith to do something they've never done before. And he's got every detail and every person and the youth pastor for those amazing youth. We got amazing youth in this church. It's amazing. I just want to say, a couple weeks ago, that T.D. Jakes message, it's like these things were planned. It's like God has a plan or something, and he shared this in that message. He said, you know, God calls you to jump out of the boat when it's full of fish and swim to Jesus and follow me. And I feel like that here, like there's so much going on here. It's so amazing. The overflow and the college, you know, the old explosion and the youth and what God's just growing there and the team around the youth and then and the church. I just know this is not going to make anything dip. It's just going to keep going because God knows what he's doing. He didn't have now I got to make another plan for Rev City. He's got the plan set out, and it's going to be, and I'm just going to be cheering. We're going to be cheering. We're going to be connected to you guys. Like, our heart is to stay connected because we're family, and family doesn't break. You know, like, we're going to be down there, but we're going to be an extension of Rev City, and we're going to be connected, cheering you on, just being family, and family doesn't, distance doesn't change that. But God's plan for this church and for that, for the youth and for the future is amazing. And we are so excited. And we feel like this, it's of course God does that. He doesn't call you when you're frustrated and disappointed. He you walk with you through those, but then when things are going amazing, when there's blessing, when there's overflow, God's like, all right, now go. And that's what we feel like. It's we're leaving full and we're leaving feeling like, man, Lord, we're so excited about this church, about Rev City, about what God's doing here. And I know we're going to be watching, and just, I'm not going to be surprised because I know I just see in the future. I see the future for this church. It's so amazing. And I wouldn't be surprised if God doubles the impact of how many youth, doubles the youth in a year, because that's the way he works. He just gets better and better and better, and that's who he is. So we love you guys so much, and I'll stop taking time. But we will be here for the next month, spending as much time as we can as possible with as many of you. And I do want to say, we would have loved to have said this to each of you as individuals, and me, but just the nature of trying to meet with so many people was impossible. We just really, so know that some of you guys are close friends, people known for a long time. This is the way it had to be just because there's so many people. And we love all of you very, very much. And we want to connect with you one-on-one as much as we possibly can. So love you guys.
Yeah, come on, give them a hand. Give the Lord a hand. Lord, you guys stay right where you are. Clinton Woody, you guys can be seated. Clinton Woody, come up here. I want to pray over. So on Sunday, May 20th, we'll have a reception following the service where Eli's going to come and bring a message. And then following that Sunday morning service, we'll give you an opportunity to come and personally just encounter them in a meet and greet situation there in the fellowship hall. And our commitment is to see them off well. And can I just tell you, I'm so proud of the way that they've walked through this season of hearing God and receiving his call and submitting it before the church where they were connected, continuing to serve faithfully and to lean in to what God has, that God's already put in their hand currently, and then being willing to step out onto the water and step out in faith and go to the thing. They're not fleeing something. They're going to something. And come on, what Eli said is true. I told them early on, I said, I don't want you to have to dream in the dark. I want you to dream out loud, because my job as your boss is not just to oversee you, but to get you to everything that God's called you and created you for. And that's my job as your pastor, too, by the way. I'm not trying to gather as many people in this building as I can to myself. I'm trying to get as many people connected to the life and call of Jesus Christ that God has placed upon your life. And so we'll trust God. So we'll just trust God. And can I tell you? I know what Elisa said is true. We don't know all the reasons yet for why God's doing this, but I'll tell you one reason. There's a precious church in Alabama that's praying for leadership and praying for a young couple to come in and begin to lead them into the destiny and the future and the purpose and the impact that God's called them to make as a church in that precious town. And it's the same reason that Amity and Thomas Humphreys are in Lawrence, Kansas. And we've walked through that same season of feeling God begin to stir our hearts, and all of our family was there and all of our roots were there. And all of our kids' friends and the schools, all those things were good. But we're grateful that we heeded the call of God, and now we're your kingdom partners and friends. Yeah, come on. So would you pray? Would you just extend your hand towards this precious couple? Eli and Elisa, we're proud of you, and we send you with blessing as sons and daughters. And we anticipate the good things that God's going to do in you, through you, and for you as a family. And Father, we pray for your protection, your provision, your direction over this transition, God. We thank you, Lord, that they're answering your call upon their lives, Lord, and so they can expect your grace, favor, protection, provision, direction, God, on both sides, Lord, as they prepare to market their home and purchase a home, as they wrap up well with their kids here, as they wrap up things in this church, God, and as they go to those things on the other side. We thank you for your provision and your abundance, God, towards them in every way, Lord. And we thank you, God, that you are raising them up, Lord, for such a time as this to make a difference in the lives of precious people, some of which they've met and many of whom they have not yet met, God. But we thank you, Lord, that what has been spoken is true, Lord. Your kingdom is big, and these are sons and daughters of this house and will forever be. And so we send them as such, Lord. We send them with our blessing. We send them with the full weight of our support and our prayers, God. And we anticipate, Lord, receiving good reports. We anticipate receiving visits from them. We anticipate Eli coming and preaching boldly the kingdom of God in this church once again as they visit. God, we anticipate, Lord, testimonies of that campus in Madison, Alabama, doubling, tripling, growing exponentially, Lord, because of a move of your spirit in that town and in that region that Eli and Elisa are going to partner with you to see come about. And we thank you, Lord, for all the ways that they've made a difference in our lives. Come on, just many of you, that just resonates with you because this couple has been there for you. They've prayed for you. They've encouraged you. They've prayed for your teenagers, your kids. And we celebrate that, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that there are many good seeds that they've put in good soil of your kingdom, God, and we pray and declare over them in this time and in this transition, Lord, that there would be a harvest, God, in their life, a harvest, Lord, that you would increase them. Thank you, you're promoting them because they've walked humbly, they've walked faithfully, they've been dedicated to the call of God in this season, Lord, and so you've got a new thing, a next thing, a greater thing that you're leading them to, Lord, and we celebrate it today in the midst of the bitterness of the parting. We celebrate it, God, and we bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. And thank you, Lord. Yeah, I can't say enough how proud I am of Eli and Elisa. And, you know, Amy and I have walked through a similar season. And we felt the excitement. We've felt the challenges. And so just thank you but God's been faithful. God is faithful. And let me tell you, when God's up to something, what Eli said is right. He's got a plan for that church, and he's got a plan for this church. And part of what Pastor Richard said in public, you can go back and listen to it. Many of you were here listening to it. He prophetically spoke over Eli that there was a transition that God was leading them to in 2018. And he said, you'll have to step out in faith to go to it, but you'll look back and you'll say, look what the Lord has done. And I'm just telling you, it's an exciting thing. And it's an opportunity for us to walk out what we believe. And we're a kingdom-minded church that's about the kingdom first. And that we don't own people. We just serve God. And we help people get to their destiny in God. And there's a good and exciting plan that God has for Eli and Elisa. And for their boys, can I just tell you, God's going to just be so faithful. What a handsome, amazing family they are. Amen. Listen, there's a call of God upon your life, too. There's a call of God upon your life, too. And it doesn't oftentimes require a geographical change for you to connect to it. And in most times, it's just what's already in your hand. There's a call of God where you already are. There's a call of God with what's already in your hand. I've got something. I've got a little sermon prop over here that Clint Kiefer was kind enough to loan me yesterday. Hey, it's already getting an applause. That was a good decision, Clint, to cut this thing off of a tree and you're on your place out there. So are you in Exodus chapter 4? Exodus chapter 4. And reading in verse 2 through verse 5, and God's speaking to Moses, and God's calling Moses. And he says to Moses, he says, what is that in your hand? And Moses said, it's a rod, and other translations say a staff, and a few translations say it's a walking stick. It's a stick, God. What's in your hand, Moses? And he said, it's a stick. And the Lord said, cast it upon the ground. And so Moses cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand, and he caught it. And it became again a rod in his hand. It became a stick. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Come on, would you pray over our word this morning with me and just invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to speak to me, to speak through me today. Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing in our lives and in our church. We thank you, Lord, that you're so faithful. We thank you, Lord, that there is a call upon our lives. There's a call upon our marriages, our homes. Thank you, Lord, that you're faithful to lead us and guide us to it, God. And we ask you, Lord, that you would speak to us today. I just humble myself before you right now, God, and I just submit my words to you, Lord. I pray that you would speak through them today to encourage your people, Lord, to more of the calling and the purpose and the destiny, the plan, the hope, the future that your word speaks of that you have for every man, woman, and young person that will call upon your name, put their hope in you, put their trust in you and your word. Thank you for any one of us this morning, God, who is weak or weary or wounded or discouraged, God, thank you that your spirit today and your heart and your desire, Lord, is to show up mightily and begin to strengthen and heal, God, so that they can begin to move forward to the purpose that you have for them. And we just trust you. We invite you. We welcome you, Lord, today to speak through your word in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's precious and handsome people said, amen. Moses was this imperfect person. Come on, we can take heart and courage and hope from this. God calls imperfect people to fulfill his plans for their life. God called Moses, this imperfect man, and he called them to make a difference. And listen, that's always part of the call of God upon any person's life, is to make a difference in the lives of others. And from the very beginning, when the father of our faith, Abraham, stepped out and began to answer the call to go out from the land that he was in and to leave his family and leave things behind, leave the familiar behind and begin to move out to the call of God upon his life, he said, you're going to be blessed so that you can be a blessing to others. And he and it's a big blessing. He said, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. The call of God upon your life, the call of God upon Eli and Elisa and their boy's life, the call of God upon this church, we are blessed to be a blessing. Everything that God's put in your hand, everything he calls you to, he wants to do a blessing for you and in you, but he's always looking to do something through you in the lives of others. And it says that back in the previous chapter, Exodus 3, it says that Moses, as he's being called, as he's answering the call, as he's sensing the call, as he's going through that season of feeling that stirring in his heart, that stirring in his spirit, that God has something for me, that I wasn't an accident, and I'm not just in this place for just out of circumstance or a happenstance, rather, there's a purpose behind it. And as God was stirring his heart, Exodus chapter 3 says that Moses had looked upon the hard labors of his people. He had seen their difficulties, and I'm just telling you, I'm compelled to stand and preach the hope of Jesus Christ because I look around Lawrence, Kansas, and I look around the United States of America, and I look at all the stories in the news and in the headlines, and I see the divorce rates, and I see all those things, and I see a people that need Jesus more than anything else in life. And Moses had seen that, and he had begun to try to step into fulfill that call in his own strength, in his own ways, according to his own ideas. And it led to him killing an Egyptian soldier and being forced to flee out into the wilderness. And come on, you might think that that was the end of it for Moses, that he had blown it, that he had messed up, that he had taken something that God had called and was stirring in his heart, and he had gotten his hands all over it, and he had messed up. Come on, that might have been the end of the story, but for God and God's grace. I'm just telling you this morning that maybe there's some ways that you've taken something that God intended to do in your life and you've taken it into your own hands and you've tried to do it in your own strength. And you might say today, Pastor T, if you knew what I had done, it's too late for God to use me. And I'm just telling you, God calls imperfect people and his grace is sufficient for you. There's hope for your marriage. There's hope for your future. There's hope for your business. There's hope for your ministry. And God was faithful. And in chapter 4, we see God beginning to Or in chapter 3, we see God beginning to reveal himself to Moses and call out to him. And in verse 4 of chapter 3, that's the burning bush experience. And it says that the Lord showed up as a burning bush. And you know what it says in verse 4? This just stood out to me. It says that when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush. It said, Moses, Moses. And I just wonder how many people God's calling out to you, and he's calling out to you, and he's trying to get your attention, and he's calling out to you, and he's calling out to you, and he's just waiting for you to just turn aside and just look and begin to answer and just say, just take your eyes off of the way that you've been doing something and take your eyes off of the way that you've thought that you needed to do it and begin to just say, God, are you speaking to me about how you want to do it in my life? Moses turned aside to look, and God began to reveal himself, and he called out to Moses, and he got his attention, and he said in verse 6, he said, I'm the God of your father, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He reminded him of who he was to Moses, and he reminded him of how awesome he was, and he reminded Moses of the reverent awe that he should have for the Lord his God. And I'm going to hand this up. Clint Kiefer, this is coming back your way, my friend. Thank you for that. Afraid I might ask, I'm about to get to the part where Moses threw it down again, you know, and I'm afraid if I throw it down, I get caught up in it too much. I throw it down and it bounces and impales someone or something. That's hard to recover from that as a preacher, all right? He called out to Moses and he said, I'm the God of your fathers. He stirred reverent awe. He reminded Moses that he knows and that he cares. He said in verse 7, I've seen the affliction of my people. I'm aware of their sufferings. He reminded, this is God, this is the pattern of God calling out to us. He reminded Moses of why he wanted to set his people free. He said, I've come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians. Come on, how many of you are grateful that the power of Jesus, the cross of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ came and has and is setting you free from the power of this world. Amen. All the things that once held you captive and in bondage. And let me just tell you, if you're still wrestling with some of those things, God wants to deliver you and set you free so that you begin to walk into the promises of God. And that's exactly what he says in the back half of that verse 8. He said, I want to bring them up from this place. Bring them out of this land and bring them into the good and the spacious land that's flowing with milk and honey and golden grams. Come on, where are my cereal people at? Come on, my late night cereal eaters. And he says in verse 12, he says, and certainly I'll be with you and you'll worship me at this mountain. This is how you'll know that I've accomplished what I've called you to do and what I want to do in the hearts and lives of my people. I'll be with you and you'll worship me. That's the heart behind the call. He's gotten Moses' attention. He's reminded him and he's called him and he's compelled him. And come on, he's doing the same for you. He calls out to Moses in chapter 4 where we just read. And he said, what's in your hand? And I'm just telling you, oftentimes the degree that we walk in and experience the heart of God and the blessing of God in our life is, are we willing to take the things that God has already put in our hand and submit them and commit them to God and be faithful with what he's already doing and be faithful? It's why God's promoting Eli. It's why he's calling him out, because Eli has been faithful as a steward with what God's already put in his hand, faithful with the youth group, faithful with the pastoral care, and God is calling him to go and begin to oversee a church and lead a church and speak into it. He was then faithful. And God's saying, will you be faithful with just what I've put in your hand? Sometimes all you need to begin to step in and walk in the call of God on your life is what's already in your hand. Don't allow the enemy to come and say, if you were only look like this, or if you had this, or if they invited you to do this. Sometimes he's just saying, what's in your hand? There's a job. If you're blessed to have a job, there's a job that's already in your hand. Come on, if you're blessed to have a spouse, there's a spouse whose heart is in your hand. Can I just tell you, a lot of times the blessing that you experience in marriage is, what will you do with the heart that's in your hand? That's a powerful place. Husbands and wives, there's a heart of another person that God's put in your hand as an entrust in you to partner with him, to bring about that person to the fullness of their blessing, of their purpose and destiny in God. And he calls Moses. He said, what's that in your hand? And he says, cast it down on the ground. And he's calling us to take whatever it is that's in our hand and lay it down before him. Commit it to him, submit it to him. And when we begin to do this, when we begin to take that marriage, when we begin to take that job, when we begin to take that dream and we begin to submit it before God, and we begin to say, God, I'll take it, whatever you say to do it, even if it doesn't make sense, and even if I've been trying to hold on to it with my own white knuckle conviction, and you call and you say, throw it down, you say, give the gift, you say, sow it, you say, lay it, I'll do it. And Moses did it. He got supernatural results. It turned into something spectacular. It turned into something extraordinary. And I'm just telling you, whatever it is that God's put in your hand, if you'll take it and you'll just put it before him, you'll begin to see him move. You'll begin to see him work. Just get your hands off it and get it before him and get it in his presence. And you'll begin to see him move. You'll begin to see it work. 1 Peter 5:7. Says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Come on, everyone, say all, everything, every worry, every hope, every dream, every concern, every care, every child, every grandchild, everything. Lay it before God. Listen, anything that you have and anything that you hope for, lay it before God. Present it before God. Keep it in his presence. But trusting God takes courage. And it says in verse 3 that at first Moses failed this test, and it says that he fled from it. Moses fled from it. I'm just telling you, if you're going to fulfill the call of God for your life, for your marriage, for your finances, for your business, for your family, it's going to require courage. You're going to have to defeat the spirit of fear. You're going to have to defeat the spirit of fear. that comes and says, come on, the what ifs of life. Well, what if you submit that to God? What if you trust your marriage? What if you trust God to change your spouse and you begin to take your hands off of trying to change them and you just begin to trust God? What if? What if you give the gift to the church? What if? What if you trust God for your healing? What if? Moses fled from it, it says. If you're going to accomplish the plan of God, the purpose of God for your life, you got to overcome the what ifs of life. You got to be willing to say, come on, I'm laying it down and I'm trusting God, and whatever it turns into and whatever it looks like, I'm just trusting that I heard him and that his word is true and that his plan is good and that his heart is good towards me, and I'm keeping it before his presence. And I'm not going to run from the call of God. Come on, I wonder if there's someone out there who, because of fear in your heart or doubt or something, a previous experience, you're running from something in your life. You're running from something in your marriage. You're running from something that God's called you to. Moses fled from it. Come on, if that's you, you're in good company. Moses did it too. God was faithful to continue to speak to him in spite of it. And at some point, he had to have realized the error of his ways and come back to the place where God was doing something in his life, to the place where God was speaking into his life, to the place that God was connecting him to his purpose and his destiny and his future, so that other people who were in bondage could be blessed. He got back to it because God said, pick it up again. Now what you took, what was in your hand, what you trusted in me, what you heard me say and obeyed and did, now pick it back up. And he says, take it by the tail. And come on, I don't know about Kansas snakes, but back in Texas where I'm from, you don't pick a snake up by the tail. If you were going to pick up a snake, you don't pick it up by the tail. You pick it up by the head so that you can control it. And I just think that's part of what God's saying. He's just saying, some of my ways are higher than your ways, and some of the things I'm going to call you to are different. My thoughts are higher. My ways are higher. I'm going to call you to do it in a way that seems dangerous or that doesn't seem right in the natural, because I'm going to call you to trust me for the results. I'm going to call you to trust me to be your protector. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, Isaiah 55 says. My ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And look what he says. He says, this is the post-text here. This is where he's going. We know that scripture. That scripture's on your refrigerator magnet. But look what he says just beyond this. He says, for as the rain and as the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and causing it to spring to life, to bud, to flourish, and yield seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so that is like my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire, and it will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And you will go out with joy, and you'll be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills will break out before him. You'll go out in joy and be led forth with peace. The trees of the hills will clap their hands. Come on, the trees of the hills will clap their hands. Come on, I know who was in the church in the 80s now. Clap their hands as you go out with joy. Come on, give it up for the Lord. Woo, I didn't see that one coming either. Take note, Chet, someone said. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher. My ways and my thoughts are higher. And he says, if you'll just trust me, when I send my word, it's higher than your word. And I send it for a purpose. And when I send it and when I speak it and when I declare it, it's because I want to do something. It's because I'm watering something in your life. It's because I'm causing something to spring to life. And it's because I want fruitfulness in your life. Come on, we got to trust God. We got to trust God. We got to be willing to cast it down. Listen, obey. We got to be willing to stand in courage. We got to be willing to come back to the place. When we blow it, come back. Come on, when you blow it, if you run in fear, get back to that place. If you're running from your marriage, if you're running from the call, come on, get back to that place, and then begin to listen to God. God, I'm back. What do you want me to do? And then he speaks something. I was like, Lord, that doesn't make sense. Well, come on, just do it. Because when he sends his word, it's because he's always trying to get you to something. He's not, come on, that's such a good word. He's not doing something to the Brooks family. He's doing something for the Brooks family. And they won't know it all until they look back and they see the way. And it might not always be easy. It won't be always be easy. I can tell you from personal experience. But it'll be good because God is faithful. And then it says that it turned back to a stick. It turned back to a stick. The thing that Moses had cast down and God had done something supernatural, it turned back to a stick. And I just want to ask you, can we still trust God when something that he's been doing in our life turns back into a stick? When a way God was moving in us or through us, a position that we had or influence that we had, when that changes, can we, and it goes back to something ordinary and common. It was spectacular and it was exciting and it goes back to just being a stick. Can we trust God in that season? Can we trust God? Listen, the eyes of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, says, are looking to and fro throughout the earth, looking for someone that he can strongly support, God's word says. He's looking for someone. And can I just tell you, I think one of the things he's looking for is someone that is able and willing to just hold God's stick for him. Someone that's willing to just take what God's put in your hand and just be willing to just be a stick. Just a stick. God, I'm not smarter, I'm not more handsome, I'm not better, I'm not whatever, I'm not educated, they have more experience, they have this, there's every reason. I'm just a stick. And I think God's just looking for someone that's just willing to just say, God, I'm just a stick. Come on, he's looking for people that will be humble yet bold. He's looking for people that will be humble yet hungry. He's looking for people that'll say, God, whether there's something spectacular happening in my life or whether it's just kind of another day of just walking out, serving you faithfully in my job, in my marriage, whatever, I'm willing to keep moving forward in your life, and I'm willing to stay humble and hungry. The Bible says that God's opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And grace and mercy are two different things. And grace is God's empowerment to help you fulfill what he's called you to do in your life. And a good acronym for grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. He's looking to empower you to get to some things. But it says that he opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And so I just want to encourage you, can we be humble when God's done something significant in your life, when God's done a miracle in your life, then when it goes back to being a stick, can we just stay humble and not try to resurrect or point people or remind people? But if you had been here just a few moments ago, if you'd seen what I was like back then, it was spectacular. Because at this moment of the story, Moses is once again just holding a stick. God opposes the proud, and it's like he resists us because he doesn't want us to get into something that will destroy us. He resists us because, listen, pride is more than just a bad attitude. It's a demonic spirit. In Isaiah chapter 14, we see that the devil became the devil, became Lucifer, because pride entered into his heart. And it says in Isaiah 14, verse 12, it says, how you've fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you're cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. And here's why. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. I'll be like God. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the earth. Come on, when we're walking in pride, it's more than just a bad attitude. It's a demonic spirit. It's the spirit that was behind the fall of Lucifer. And it's why God can't support it, and it's why God can't bless it. And God's the eyes of the earth, or the eyes of God, rather, are looking to and fro the earth, and I think he's looking for people that are humble and hungry and will remain so regardless in the good seasons, in the challenging seasons, in the miraculous seasons, in the supernatural seasons, and in the just-a-stick seasons. He's looking for people that will be humble and hungry. Come on, say, I will stay humble and hungry. Lucifer fell because of pride. It's his calling card. When we're operating in pride, we're never operating in the Spirit of God. It's always the spirit of Lucifer. It's how he came to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. He said, did God really say? And then you know what he said after that? He said, if you'll do this, you'll surely be like God. That same spirit tries to get on us. And listen, I want to just encourage you. I'll move real quickly. And in fact, can I have the worship team come up and prepare to help us to dismiss. And let's dismiss a beat this morning. Quickly, several things that can help you to overcome this demonic spirit of pride. One is pray. And I've heard this said before, a day without prayer is a boast against God. I believe it to be true. Because sometimes we think, well, I'm not prideful, Pastor T. I'm not prideful. I've overcome that. I just want to tell you, maybe God's got some different ways of defining some things in our lives. I'm so grateful for his grace and his mercy to us. But can I just encourage you? Let me just make that statement again. A day without prayer is a boast against God. And I just know for me, I want God to just so, just in a deep way, remind me that I'm nothing without Him. I'm just a stick. And that everything when I wake up in the morning, everything He's called me to, the good, the bad, and the ugly, everything He's called me to, I need His strength. I'm fully dependent upon Him. Every morning I wake up, the Bible says, the blessed are the poor in spirit. And every morning I wake up and I'm rattling my cup before Him. I'm saying, Lord, I'm poor in spirit. And I can't do it. I can't pastor this church. I can't be a godly husband. I can't lead my family well. I can't do all the things that You've called me to do unless Your presence and Your spirit is with me and for me. Come on, that's the kind of heart attitude that God's looking in us, looking for in us. He's looking. Come on, who's willing to stay humble and hungry? Who's willing to wake up every day and say, God, this stick that You put in my hand, this job, this marriage, these kids, it seems menial. It just seems like I'm going through the motions. I'm recognizing that You've put it in my hand, and if I submit it to You, You want to do something supernatural through my life. Every day, everything, in every way, just pray. Come on. God, I need You. God, in that challenge I have, God, in this struggle in our marriage, God, in that need in our finances, I can't do it in my own strength. We can't do it in our own strength. We're praying. We're submitting it to You. Come on. If God answered every one of your prayers in the last 7 weeks, how would the world look different? If God answered every one of your prayers in the last 3 days, whose life would be changed? If God answered every one of your prayers today since you woke up, how would the world around you, how would your heart, how would your marriage, how would life be differently? Is it possible that sometimes we miss the point, we miss the mark, we see it as a religious duty and really it's an invitation to partner with God and to get His attention and to take what God's put in our hands. Come on, every morning you wake up and you've got challenges. Every day you've got things to do, you've got places to be. And every morning to wake up and just say, Lord, I'm just trusting You with this. And whatever You say to do, I'll do. And when the enemy comes and he tries to cause me to shrink back or hold back or intimidate me with the scheme of fear, I'll trust in You. And in the good days where there are miracles and in the days where I'm just kind of going through the normal just faithfulness of life, when I'm on the days where something's supernatural and on the days where I just have a stick in my hand, Lord, I'll remain humble and I'll remain hungry, looking to You and trusting You. Come on, church, can I just ask you to stand to your feet? Let's ask the Lord to just deepen and just affirm this in our hearts and our lives. And I just want to ask you a few questions, and I just want to say, what's in your hand? It's the question that God asked Moses. Come on, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? What's in your hand this morning? What is it that He's calling you to submit to Him in a new way or a fresh way? What's in your hand? What's the challenge? What's the relationship? Where's the struggle? What's in your hand? What's something that's in your hand that today, with a heart of humility and expectation, you can just bring it before God and just say, Lord, I'll put it before You. Lord, I'll trust You with it. Come on, right there where you are, I'm just going to give you a moment to really answer that question between you and the Holy Spirit. What's in your hand? What's God calling you to throw? Now, Lord, would You begin to just speak to these people about what it is You would have them to do, to forgive, to pray, to trust, to go back to a place that they fled from in fear and begin to put themselves in that environment once again to begin to receive Your word and Your instructions for a new season of life. God, what is it that You're calling us to? Thank You, Lord. And Lord, we commit. Would you just deepen the commitment in our church and in us individually to stay humble and hungry? In the ways that You move mightily and do miracles, Lord, in our lives, we'll be humble. We'll remain humble. We'll be reminded that just a little bit ago, now it looks supernatural, but just a little bit ago in our life, it was just a stick. And it was nothing that we did except just listen to You and heed Your word and be obedient to do it. But You're the one that showed up and resurrected that life. You're the one that healed us. You're the one that provided for us. You're the one that reconciled that marriage. You're the one that's building something good in our life. You're the one that's helping us get the results that we're getting. We'll trust You, Lord. Would You just help? Come on, right there, church. Would you just dedicate yourself, come on, to be humble and hungry and to stay that way before God and to stay that way before God? Come on, right there where you are. We commit, God, to walk that out well and to live that out before You. Thank You for Your grace, Lord, when we stumble and when we fall. And thank you, Lord, for your grace and empowerment, Lord, to just to live that out well before you. And lastly, before we close with praise, if you're here today and you don't have a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, if you haven't received the invitation that Jesus extended to you to a new life in God, to a relationship with a God who really does have a purpose and a plan for your life, we want to give you the opportunity to receive that in faith. And if that's you, all I'm going to ask you to do is just lift your hand high towards heaven and say, "That's me, Pastor T. Would you pray for me? That's me, Pastor T. Would you pray for me?" Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Thank you for these hands and the lives that they represent, God. And come on, church family, can we all pray this together? Would you repeat it after me? Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. Thank you for sending Jesus to forgive me, to heal me, to cleanse me, and to make me new. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I trust you with my future. And thank you, Lord, it's a good future, and I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, come on, and all God's precious people said, come on, with a shout of praise, come on. Team, lead us, and then Pastor Eli will come and call the ministry team forward and dismiss them.